There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Busy, busy Monday on the Chuck Oliver Show. Chuck, it's April 19th. How's it busy? Because we had, I think, seven SEC spring games over the weekend. We had some ACC spring games. Getting to those as well. We are getting through all of them. If you're a fan of a team, you know, Mississippi State, where's our talk? We'll talk everybody. I promise you. We'll get to Ole Miss. Everybody, post-spring. We wind up getting Clemson finished theirs about a month ago. We did it on the Monday. Georgia finished theirs 2 days ago. We did it today. Also, I've already talked Auburn. We will talk LSU. Matt Moscona coming on about 10. Alabama, spring game. Going to talk about them in just a second. But with Travis Ryer from Bama Online, also Tide 100.9 FM, Travis Ryer joined us at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to talk a little Bryce Young in just a second. But we are making our way through all of the spring games, any of the determinations that have been made, which here's the determination. We didn't decide anything, so we'll carry it on to the fall. We're covering all of that. So if we don't wind up talking, you know, your team had its spring game on Saturday and we didn't get to it today, I promise you it'll be just like in the regular season when there are some games we lead with on a Monday, and then Tuesday, about the second or third segment, you're like, oh, okay, they're talking about my team now. That's right, because Texas A&M, you already have a loss, and you played Arkansas. So we'll talk about you on Tuesday. But Alabama played LSU. Both teams are undefeated. We're going to talk about them lead show on Monday. Same thing with spring games. If we are deciding quarterbacks or maybe just marveling at quarterbacks like JT Daniels, then, yeah, we wanted to get to it today. Like I said, we'll do LSU coming up in about 10, Bama bottom of the hour right now. I'll get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
I got bad news for everybody. I'm not even going to give you the headline. There's a chance that Nick Saban was telling the truth last year. Or that the general idea about spring practice was true in Alabama, that we don't even know if Mac Jones would be the starter if we had spring practice. Oh, stop. A guy going into his fourth year in the program, and it's a true freshman early enrollee. Oh, stop. Now, I'm kind of overspeaking just to make a point about how great Bryce Young was the other day. But Bryce Young was great the other day at Alabama spring game. Got the MVP honors. Threw the ball a ton, and there's spring stats, so make up them what you will, but that kid flung it. 44 pass attempts, 333 yards, touchdown, no picks, MVP of the game. He was the primary backup last year to Mac Jones, and as the popular story went, hey, he could have been starting. Mac Jones, Heisman finalist, going to be a first-round pick by what I'm hearing now. What, maybe the third overall pick? He wouldn't even been starting. You might not even been able to hold off Bryce Young. And you go 13-0 and win a national championship. Again, that seems like we're connecting dots there. But I also know that if it's a year later and that kid is so much more experienced in 50 different ways than he was. But Bryce Young put on a show on Saturday. And this is for a kid that doesn't have a ton of experience playing at the level and didn't get spring last year. Now, Nick Saban, following Saturday spring game, he's like, folks, this is what we've been saying all spring. He's played well consistently, has a lot to do, a lot to improve on, etc., but he's looked good. There's a chance that Alabama has its next receiver. Is it Ajayi Hall? A-G-I-Y-E. Ajayi Hall, maybe. I'll ask Travis Ryer about that. He'll know. he looks like the next guy. And Alabama, there's one position, you know, who doesn't really get to play a whole lot is the true freshman tailback sometimes. You know who gets to play all the time? The true freshman left tackle and the true freshman wide receiver. And they may have another one in. He's an early enrollee, number three rated wide receiver in the class. He had a big day as well. Saban mentioned him. So they got a lot more studs coming through and some more freshmen, including Latham up front. He was the most valuable lineman. Jamarian Latham, 6'3", 285-pound defensive tackle, got a sack. And so he had other things, but when you get a sack as a defensive tackle, it's going to kind of stand out as well. So we will talk more about this coming up after we talk LSU with Matt Moscona. Consider yourself up to date. Like I said, really impressed with all the quarterbacks in Baton Rouge over the weekend, but especially, again, the two that we thought were always kind of separated. We will talk with Matt Moscona next about how it's going to turn out.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. I'm going to head out to the Sportsman's Paradise. They had themselves a spring game on Saturday in Baton Rouge. And I said, credit to Ed Orgeron. Now, I don't know if he knew he was telling the truth, but before spring practice, he was like, all things equal, man. All things equal. Quarterbacks, they're going to get some equal reps. And big story because we wanted a big story. I did, at least. Max Johnson took the first reps with the first-team offensive line. And that didn't really matter. And so throughout the entirety of spring practice and even going through the game, there wasn't much Ed Orgeron or any of the coaches said or did that betrayed, hey, this really isn't a competition. Now, again, I thought Max Johnson was kind of who they wanted to win. Miles Brennan is in it. That's what I absolutely believe. A man who was on the scene and can give me a much more reliable opinion from 104.5 out there in Baton Rouge. It is Matt Moscona. Matt, how are you today?
Chuck, I'm great, man. Thanks.
Tell me about the quarterback battle, and it's ongoing. I think it has always been two. I thought that Max Johnson kind of was the guy that, you know, then was the most favored nation. But I don't believe that after the spring game. I think this is a real competition, and there's a reason for Miles Brennan to stay there.
So I think a lot of people probably roll their eyes when they hear that, like a quarterback competition, right? I mean, I think the cynic in us all just believes that the coaches have their guy and it's just a matter of it playing out. Your assertion, Chuck, is actually spot on, man. And if you remember this past season when Miles Brennan got hurt, all of us, because of everything that we had all heard about how much the staff liked Max Johnson, just assumed Max would start. And Ed said, no, we're going to go through practice week and we're going to grade every rep, and whoever's better during practice is going to start. And it was TJ Finley. And Finley started 5 games. They did the same thing in 2018 with Burrow. I mean, we all look back in hindsight at Burrow's, you know, his time in Baton Rouge and think, well, that was a no-brainer, but it wasn't. I mean, they went through fall camp with Lowell Narcisse and Justin McMillan and Miles Brennan. They did then exactly what they did on Saturday and they've done through spring, which is they split every rep equally. They grade every rep, you know, based on their grading system. And then whoever has the highest grade is who's going to play. So, I mean, I'm with you. I think it's a Max Miles race. But as we also saw this past year, man, you're a turned ankle, or in this case, a severed abdominal muscle away from being in the game, and, you know, rotate a couple of freshmen. So I think they want to delay this as long as possible to keep everybody engaged, to make sure that they don't get thin at a position where right now they're deep and talented.
Let's talk running backs and two angles here. Mm-hmm. Cover them both if you want. Tell me why Ty Davis-Price has turned into a lot more than maybe folks outside of Baton Rouge in the program thought when he was coming in as the second fiddle to John Emery. And if it had been a game against someone other than LSU on Saturday, how would the running backs have played?
So they were Ty Davis-Price was the only running back on Saturday.
Yeah.
That position group got decimated this spring. John Emery had a shoulder surgery after the season, who you mentioned. Trey Bradford, who just finished up his freshman season, was also unavailable. Chuck, they had Ty Davis-Price, and then they were literally using a walk-on linebacker at running back.
Spring game, brother.
So I wouldn't make much of what we saw on Saturday itself. But to your point about Ty Davis-Price, I know you and I talked about that early.
You told me, actually. I remember media days in Hoover. You're like, yeah, it ain't just Emery in this class, man. This is a good – and he's a local kid, isn't he? And you're like, keep your eyes open. Yeah. He's a different back than Emery, and he can be just as good.
From Southern Lab. And I'll tell you, they challenged him – the coaching staff challenged Ty Davis-Price after this season finished. They said – lose some weight, get in the best shape of your life, and you got a shot. Because LSU's had this run of 1,000-yard backs and guys that are playing. I mean, even look at a guy like Darrell Williams, who's still playing in the league.
Yeah.
You know, he was always behind Fournette and Geis and all these really uber-talented guys. But even a guy like Nick Brissett came through here and was a 1,000-yard rusher. And we saw the season Clyde had. To specifically answer your question about why he can be that next-level guy, it's if he can develop – in the past game, if you just remember, the whole thing here, Chuck, is they brought in Jake Peets as the offensive coordinator. Peets was the quarterback's coach in Carolina with Joe Brady. And Ogeron, after the game on Saturday, called it the Joe Brady offense. I mean, he's not even hiding what he wants, what he thinks. I mean, it's in the big part of that offense in 2019 that nobody thought would happen before the season was the role Clyde Edwards-Helaire played. You know, he not only was an amazing running back, but also caught 40-some-odd passes and some critical plays. It was a big part of the offense, and they don't have that guy. I mean, they are as unsettled at running back as I can ever remember, Chuck, and they need someone to own it. And, you know, maybe it's a freshman Corey Kiner coming in from Ohio. Maybe Trey Bradford emerges. But I think what they really like is to see Ty Davis-Price or John Emery just have that breakout all-conference type season. They need it.
Well, Butte at the end of the year is like, all right, I'm going to be the one next year because it looks like these guys get game checks after you're the one at LSU. So he's going to be the one. He called it. It's like fourth grade logic. All right, so I surrendered. That's Butte. I thought that the 2, the 3, the 4, the 5, it was kind of there for the taking. And I'm going to tell you something. Watching the other day, I got a little snarky. I was like, oh, a John Trey Kirkland sighting. And then he kept on playing. Is he a ball player finally?
Yeah, man. And you know the thing? And so Kirkland had 200 receiving yards. I know it's a spring game, so chalk that up
still
for what it is. But it is. But he caught passes for the first team and for the second team and for all four quarterbacks. When he was in the game, nobody could guard him. And, Chuck, it's one of those things where you go, how does a guy like this just pop? Well, I mean, look at the position the past 2 years. I mean, where you have Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson and Terrace Marshall and then Kayshon Boutte emerges. It's like, you and I have talked about a guy like Jazz Ferguson, who is here, who could do nothing. He goes to Northwestern State and has like 1,400 yards. Like, well, where did that guy come from? Well, he was buried on a depth chart behind a bunch of pros.
Yeah, the kid who went to SMU, too.
Trey Quinn. You're right. It's one of those things where it's really hard to fight for elbow room at the table in that receiver group. And there's guys you've never – it's similar at corner, man. It's guys you've never heard of, but most of them don't wait their turn. John Trey's a guy who waited his turn. He decided to come back for his senior year.
Yeah.
There is a very clear path to the field for him now, and I think people are going to get to know him really well this year.
But he's supposed to be in Northern Arizona if he follows the route, isn't he?
Right.
Yeah.
Normally that's a guy that transfers, goes and finds a place to play to get on the field, and then find a way into a pro day somewhere, and then a draft or an undrafted free agent. But he, to his credit, he did the unconventional thing, stuck it out, and is taking advantage of another year because of COVID, and he came back and he's playing his senior year. So he's a guy from Louisiana who we've all watched from the time he was a prep. I think John Trey actually played quarterback in high school as well. So, I mean, it's a guy who we've gotten to know him for a long time during his time in Louisiana, and, you know, hoping the best for a guy like that that sticks it out and, you know, and stays for his senior year.
Wrapping up with Matt Moscona. You hear him every afternoon. After further review, 3-6, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, all over the state. I had three big questions for LSU heading into the spring, and the third question after quarterback and how are the running backs going to shake out. Linebacker, and I started the show today saying, I don't know, let the kid from Clemson show up. Maybe, you know, they got a summer, you know, enrollee showing up as well. I said, I ain't got answers at linebacker yet. Do you have some answers?
Well, you're spot on, man, as usual. Those are clearly the running back, linebacker, the two just gigantic glaring question marks. And safety as well, but they kind of took some steps there, I think. Jay Ward moving back to safety was a big deal, but Chuck, that's only possible because guys like Dwight McLaughlin have stepped up and have owned the nickel and dime roles, you know, complementing Stingley and Rick. Yeah. So, I mean, they've got corners, so that allowed them. For those, Jay Ward's the guy who, against Florida, made that interception where it, like, bounced four times off a helmet and he tipped it back to him. So, I mean, that crazy. So you get this guy with great ball skills that's back there playing free safety, and it's unifying for the defense. But linebacker, I mean, they were terrible there last year. You just can't call it anything else. I mean, they've got Damone Clark back, but he looked out of place again on Saturday. Chuck, he's just not an inside backer. He's just not a Mike. He's a big kid, but he needs to be out in space. The only thing that brings that together is perhaps the three best linebackers on the team didn't play on Saturday. They got the number one JUCO linebacker in the country, Bug Strong. He didn't play, but they're really excited about him. Mike Jones, the Clemson transfer, and then Micah Baskerville, who's a guy who played a lot late last year for LSU, was working on some academics and didn't participate in spring. Those three guys might be your best linebackers. So they have options that weren't on the field this spring, really good options as well, but we just don't know if they're going to develop into the fall. And they need them to, or that is a gigantic liability in the middle of your defense at a spot where whenever LSU has been good, it's been Devin White and Patrick Queen and Kendall Beckwith and Debo Jones and a lot of guys who you know their names because they went on to play in the NFL, and they need that in this defense.
Give me 60 seconds on this. I woke up yesterday morning kind of encouraged about LSU and excited to see the next level in this quarterback thing happen over summer and then August. Tell me where the LSU fan base is this morning. Are they as encouraged as I am?
They are optimistic, I think. It's the nature of being a fan. I think this is a fan base that thinks this LSU team can get to 10 wins. I'm not so sure I believe that with the schedule, the unsettled nature of quarterback, and you know, what you're going to go up against this year. But, Chuck, realistically, this is a 2018 do-over. This is you're coming off a terrible season. Find a way to win some marquee games like LSU did that year where they had the walk-off field goal against Auburn. They beat number three Georgia in Baton Rouge, had some really nice wins and built toward a championship run in 2019. I think that's this team. This team isn't going to contend for a championship, but they can put the 2022 squad in contention and maybe make a run.
It is a do-over. Get the wiffle ball out of the gutter because it's a do-over. Matt Moscona, appreciate you, brother, always.
All right, Chuck. See you, man.
All right. Again, get him on Twitter, at Matt Moscona. Again, afternoon drive there on TV. He's a media superstar out yonder. But I'm encouraged by it. There's good stuff going on there, and it's not that nobody put a hammer lock on it. So what's going on? Like Emory Jones, and we talked about that after Florida, and they wrapped up like a month ago. But he's the quarterback, absolutely. And everybody, if you ask 100 people or 1,000 people, they'll all say it. But maybe they wanted a little more. That's not what it is with LSU. It was, well, we got more, and we got more from two kids, including, again, and Miles Brennan, a guy with a lot of experience, and that's not nothing.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise. our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
It was just supposed to be a talking point, folks. There was a pandemic. We were all staying inside. We were looking for stuff to talk about. It was just a talking point, but there was a lot more reality to it than we knew in the moment. If we DeLorean back to about a year ago, the storyline that was fun to talk about was, hey, Mac Jones, he gets a pass because there's no spring practice. Because if he had to compete against Bryce Young, he gets his 1 year as the starter before Bryce Young takes over because Mac Jones didn't have to compete in spring. There were actually versions of that conversation flying around. Now, again, it was just conversation because we saw how good Mac Jones was and how much more talent he had than we realized. Bryce Young, good. And that's after a game where I watched Alabama play Alabama. But that's my summary. Bryce Young, good. Want to welcome on now somebody. I'm sure he was front and center on Saturday afternoon. You can read him at BamaOnline.com. Listen to him on Tide 100.9 FM. It is Travis Ryer. Travis, do you have any more additional summary for Bryce Young than he good?
He good. He good. He's not very tall. But for today's version of what offenses want in quarterback play, he seems to bring it all to the table. He showed you a little bit of everything, I thought, Saturday, Chuck. He delivered from the pocket. He extended plays, made some throws off platform. Yeah, he's 2021 good, I'd say.
And you mentioned he, you know, threw from the pocket, and then they got him on the run, you know, half rolls and sprint outs and stuff. And then also there were some pass plays where, you know, maybe he takes off. But he threw the ball 44 times. That's not nothing for me. Now, I know they don't have four quarterbacks like LSU that are all, quote, in the running. But 44 passes for a kid? I mean, they were like, here's the high dive. You're going in the 12-foot water, son.
They like to throw it around in the spring, typically. But, yeah, that is still a good bit. And even Paul Tyson, the backup, threw it 34 times. So they didn't hesitate going to the air and really got the tight ends and backs involved in that. You know, between those two positions, I guess you had a little bit south of 600 passing yards in the game, or nearly half of that went to backs and tight ends. They were big time involved, which probably doesn't come as a surprise given what Alabama's losing at the wide receiver position. And also John Metchie didn't play on Saturday. So, good day to be a tight end and a running back still.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that. You mentioned Metchie. He didn't play all spring. And so Nick Saban, it was so perfect Nick Saban after the game Saturday, because when everybody's, you know, we all want to pile on the moment and say how great Bryce Young was in the moment. Coach Saban takes it bigger picture. He's like, no, he was good all spring, and we talked about that all spring. I mean, I thought that he doesn't choose his words casually. I thought he did a good job of reminding everybody that what you saw today, we've seen versions of that for 14 other days.
And that's been pretty unusual,
yeah,
comparing it to some quarterback situations they've had in the past. And he hasn't been as seemingly comfortable with a guy this early in the process as far as making the transition from one starter to the next. But, you know, maybe that's because of the things that he told us he had seen from Bryce throughout spring practice. And it also might be indicative of the quarterback room right now. You know, not that Paul Tyson hasn't improved, because I think he has, But relative to some of the guys that they've had through there of late, like when they had Jalen and Tua there for a couple of years that were kind of getting after each other, then going into Mac Jones last year, Bryce pretty clearly the guy right now.
After signing day, I was told by a couple of different people who, they don't work together, separate recruiting service. Both of them said, JoJo Earl, that wide receiver they signed out of Texas, he's the one. Just wait till he gets on campus. And I got to tell you, he had a teammate that said, I'm not going to wait. Is it Ajay Hall, the wide receiver out of Florida? Mm-hmm. I gave him an extra vowel earlier in the program, but is it Ajay Hall? He had a bang-out game on Saturday himself.
Yeah, Ajay Hall, five-star recruit in his own right, so – I had a couple of those as early enrollees, and two of those early enrollees weren't able to play on Saturday. They were among the several guys that were out, Christian Leary and Ja'Cory Brooks. But Ajay Hall was highly anticipated coming into the spring, and he showed you why. On 50-50 type balls at 6'3", able to use his body and his size to make some explosive plays for that second team offense. And there's openings. There's no doubt about that. Obviously, you expect John Metchie to be right there at the top of your rotation. Slade Bolden's going to be in that mix too. But when you get to 3, 4, maybe even 5, a lot of competition. And Ajay Hall, I thought on Saturday, served notice that he plans to be right in the middle of that.
Flip it around to defense, and I was talking about Jontre Kirkland earlier in the program, the LSU wide receiver. So it's kind of unusual for a kid to hang around until senior year if he hadn't been playing, and he looks like he may emerge. Is that kind of like Jalen Moody? That's him with Alabama, because, I mean, he's a guy that's covered some kicks and such, but first of all, there's not a lot of three-star recruits brought into the program, and they don't hang around when they never play. He may have an opportunity this year.
You know, he came in the same class as Ali Kaho. And Ali Kaho, in multiple services, was a five-star linebacker. Yeah. And it's actually been Kaho that has hit the portal and is now at UCLA. And I agree. I think most people 3 years ago, if they were going to wager on those two guys, which one would still be around in 2021, Moody wouldn't have been the pick for most of those folks. But, man, he has just continued to improve. And the last 7 or 8 months, even going back to the end of last season when he did get an opportunity to play in games against Arkansas and Florida in the SEC championship game, he was really impressive. And I thought that carried over into the spring and right through Saturday's 8A game. You didn't have Christian Harris on the field with that first-team defense, so you just plug in, by the way, an early enrollee true freshman in Deontay Lawson, who looked like he had been around already for 2 or 3 years. So this next wave of linebacker talent, both inside and outside, very impressive, and it's also intriguing because the potential of a Henry Toa Toa, maybe, to be in that mix. And when you watch these guys for Alabama right now, sure, I don't know a coach out there that's going to say no to a guy like Henry Toa Toa, but I don't get the sense that this Alabama linebacker room right now necessarily has to have Henry Toa. Love to have him, but I don't think it's just a pressing need to bring him in, which sounds crazy, I know.
If you go back one level, spring, and especially a spring game, is when you got an upperclassman who already knows where to line up. All right, he's a little bit hurt. We'll just hold him out. Would anybody take advantage of at least increased opportunity for snaps in spring in the secondary?
In the secondary, I think it kind of went as planned. They're looking for that starter opposite Josh Obe with Patrick Surtain moving on to the NFL. And I think Saturday you saw that. You talk about these veterans that you don't often see hang around, but it seems like at Alabama a few more of them do than maybe some other places. Mm-hmm. Jalen Armour Davis is an example of that. Early on in his career in pregame warmups as a true freshman, tore his ACL, and so that put him behind a little bit. But he's looked really good at that other corner, had 3 pass breakups in the scrimmage on Saturday. But most people are excited about Ja'Quincy McKinstry, Kool-Aid, as he's known, the 5-star early enrollee. He did some good things, too, Saturday, Chuck. He had back-to-back possessions where he had takeaways and interception, a fumble recovery. And he's also a guy that can be a dangerous sort of Derek Stingley twofer type when you combine punt return ability with what he can do at corner as well.
You know, it's funny, Travis, before I let you run, if you get a comment about the Alabama program, I mentioned a couple of weeks back, I think I was talking about Tony Brown, that it's rare, you know, you have a guy that basically doesn't play five-star or whatever, and he hangs around, and suddenly he's getting game checks in the NFL. Talk about that dynamic, because even the kids who do transfer out of the program from Tuscaloosa, it's not so typical like most other programs where, oh, I was a four-star, five-star, I'm not going to play, I'm out. They may leave, but it seems it's their third, fourth, fifth year when they do it.
Yeah, I think it gets to the point where it's pretty clear that by that fourth or fifth year, you know, after a spring like we just went through, the writing's on the wall that going into that fourth or fifth season, you're not necessarily going to be a first option. And guys have made the jump.
Ben Davis.
You know, Dallas Warmack, Ben Davis has done it recently. Dallas Warmack went from Alabama to Oregon. Brandon Kennedy went from Alabama to Tennessee. But those were guys that had been around. They were grad transfer types, right? They're not first or second year guys at Bell. Now, you've seen it. Kendall Sheffield, the former five-star corner that came through Tuscaloosa, after a couple of years, he bounced to a JC and then ended up at Ohio State and the NFL.
Right.
So, you know, it works well sometimes, but more so, as you outlined, it's guys that have been around, and it's kind of just to the point where, look, you know, it's just not going to happen here, and that's when they make the move.
Yeah, I mean, Kirby was like, I desperately need him, and at Alabama, there's no disrespect, but it was like, you're part of our solution in the secondary. Kirby's like, I got to have him.
Yeah, he was maybe the nickelback, you know, maybe. And you're right. At Georgia, that was the minimal that Mo Smith was going to do for the Dogs.
Well, buddy, I appreciate it as always, man. It's exciting to watch Bryce Young, at least in a scrimmage. I can't wait till September. And I don't think most Auburn grads are saying that, but I'm kind of excited about it. So appreciate your time, brother.
I always appreciate you, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
All right, Travis Schreier again from Bam Online and 100.9 FM. It's just, you know, I like when it looks like it may happen for a kid, because you see some like Brent Schaefer. Can we go back? Do we remember Brent Schaefer? About 15 years ago, he was at Tennessee. He was a left-handed quarterback, a left-handed runaround quarterback, which, he's Baby Vic or Lil Vic or whatever they called him. And he started at Tennessee, JUCO, Ole Miss, and it never ever happened for him. And I think part of it was, you know, big enough, play in the pocket, whatever. I spun the wheel, it landed on one of like 7,800 examples. But when you look at a kid, well, he wasn't good enough to play. There's a spot for every kid, I believe. Now, maybe not at the SEC level, and maybe not at the Tennessee level, which is, you know, where they were in, oh gosh, I think he would have been there in like 04 maybe. But there's a spot, and there is a way to maximize every kid. And so I like Bryce Young because the fact that it looks like he's going to really get this shot and make the most of it, and maybe he's as good as folks were saying based on a scrimmage in April, that he's as good as maybe folks were saying, the advanced billing. But it is such a drastic change, potentially, in offensive approach that's really what's got, you know, my eye trained on Tuscaloosa. I think I know what the outcome is going to be. A whole bunch of wins, maybe no losses, maybe one. But, you know, for Alabama, you know, defense, they may have the best defense in college football this year. They're one of the teams that I would look at if you said, hey, give me six teams, one of these will have – I would talk about Alabama, which means it starts to get more and more likely that you can roll with a redshirt freshman quarterback. And all that goes with that, whether, you know, turnovers, indecision, wasted timeouts, et cetera, if you got best defense in the game, creates a lot of opportunity, room for error, wiggle room, et cetera. So I'm just excited to see it turn out for the kid and again, hopefully get to September and it'll translate to real games. So appreciate Travis coming on. Going to break, wrap up next.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand in hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I think that the offense that we're in now allows me to be kind of multiple and allows me to do certain things with the football. It allows me to be in a position to make choices and stuff, and it gives me a lot of reads and a lot of progressions. And so with that being said, I think that it's kind of easier to go through progressions and make decisions and just put my guys in great situations.
Bo Nix, Auburn quarterback, and he's talking post-scrimmage on Saturday, post-spring game, and he's giving the same answers he normally does, a little calmer because it's just spring game, not a real, not a regular season game, but it's not a question of skill, talent, demeanor, mindset, gray matter, capability. He's got all of it, and it's off the charts, and I mean that. It's consistent production at quarterback. That's what it is. That's what you got to have. And every single coach talking about any coach who has a returning quarterback that, I mean, sometimes you know kind of what you got. All right. Sometimes you look around and you're thinking, okay, I've got a Heisman finals. I've got Trevor Lawrence returning. So what are you looking for in spring? I don't know. Trevor's back in the dorm room. He's not coming out this spring. Every other coach, when you don't have Trevor Lawrence coming back for spring, like Mac, what are you looking for from Sam Howell? Stay healthy. That's it. As long as he's 98.6 the day after and all the bones are in the right order. Almost every other coach uses that word consistently. Consistently. I mean, he needs to be more consistent. Coaches, and here's what's behind it. Whenever you hear a coach say, I want him to be more consistent, he's almost always talking about quarterback, but he's talking about every position. Do you want to know what the coach really is thinking when you hear him say, I just need him to be more consistent? This is true for every coach I've ever known. More than anything, a coach wants to know, what is the baseline that I can count on from you? What is the, at the very least, I'm going to get this? When he says consistent, you know what consistent is? What was it? Kyle Trask this past year, was it 9 straight games with 3 touchdown passes? I like Kyle Trask to be consistent. How? 3 touchdowns every Saturday. Well, check the box. You figured it out. Yes, that would be consistent. That's not what coaches are saying. When a coach says, I want him to be consistent, it means I want to know the very least that I can count on. I know I'm always going to get at least this kind of performance. That he doesn't waste timeouts, that he doesn't line up behind the guard, that he doesn't get freaked out on 4th and 1, that or 1st and 10 with a pass rush. Except he needs to be more consistent. I want to know what I can count on. That's what a coach is talking about, I promise you. So, again, that was Bo Nix post-spring practice talking about himself and what is ahead. He's a really talented kid and leader and teammate and all that. And I really hope it comes together for him and everybody else on offense. He's going to have to discover some wide receivers. They'll kind of figure that out together. But, again, talent is not the issue for Bo. That is absolutely true. All right. Dan Matthews pop in here in just a minute, but I'm going to give a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
We have all used him as the reference point for a reason. We just need a new reference point. Let's stop comparing draft prospects to Percy Harvin. Can we do that? 3 different times over this weekend, and only 2 of them were actually Florida players. 2 different times over this weekend, and I bet you I've seen it 10 references this offseason leading up to the draft. I saw offensive players with diverse skill sets being described pre-draft as a Percy Harvin type of player. Let me go ahead and tell you, he's not a Percy Harvin type of player, virtually whoever we're talking about, because we're comparing him to the real one. Now, Percy Harvin in the NFL, it wasn't all that. He got hurt a lot, and he got satisfied and whatever. Percy Harvin in college, I've said it before. Go back and look at that Oklahoma National Championship game, that Tebow game-winning championship went title-winning drive. That wasn't a Tebow drive. Folks, that was Percy Harvin drive. That was Urban Meyer get the ball number 8. When Florida had to have it against a really good defense from Oklahoma, get the ball into Percy's hands. That's what Florida did with Tebow on the field. And they won. Now, part of the reason I just went into that detail is because players like Kadarius Toney, Kyle Pitts, this weekend, Rondell Moore, I'm certain they appreciate the compliment. Now, most likely, it's not an apt comparison, but it's now been 12 years since Percy was drafted. While Rondell Moore out of Purdue or Kadarius Toney out of UF or anybody else, Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota, I'm sure they appreciate the compliment. You need to explain to them that I'm comparing you to a guy who entered the draft when you were a second grader. So I need to explain to you who this is coming out of college and his draft profile. And now you understand. You're the Percy Harvin of the 2021 draft. I'm the guy who gets hurt a lot. I'm the guy who doesn't play every week. I'm the guy who flips fields anytime, whether it's with a kick, punt, handoff, or catch. Okay, that Percy Harvin I want to be. Again, it's a compliment. We just need to come up with another one because Percy Harvin, he actually has now officially, he says, retired and for real this time from the NFL. So that is my closing argument brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. Wherever you're at in the Deep South, if you need legal expertise, you need Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. What up, Dan?
Before I get to my two scenarios, you know, it's funny. Maybe I need to put my own list on the side of the refrigerator because what you just said there about consistent is – there are so many buzzwords that I almost feel like coaches, and of course, you know, everybody knows it as coach speak, but everybody who either watches, covers, or coaches, or even plays football goes to. And consistent is one of them. It's always, oh, hey, I just need to be more consistent. Okay, elaborate. What do you mean by that? Oh, I just need to be better at this. Okay, so that's really what you mean. And it's the same deal with intangibles during the draft time. Like we say, in baseball, Chuck, what is it? It's tools. What do tools mean? Can they throw? Can they hit? Can they run the bases? Can they catch the ball in the outfield? That's all I really need to know. Everything else is kind of ancillary. So that's just a little side rant for me. Good news or bad news about Georgia from what I saw this weekend being in the building in Athens? Good news or bad news?
Good news.
Good news is I do really truly believe that this defensive front finally is going to be able to get pressure on the quarterback. And that's what I saw on Saturday is some people could look at it and say, uh-oh, there's problems with the offensive line. Offensive line needs to come together. There's no doubt. But I saw basic rushes, Chuck, and there was pressure getting on JT Daniels and other quarterbacks that were on the field. And I said, finally. Finally, this looks like a group that can actually do something. And one play that stuck out to me was a simple twist where it was Amir Speed coming from the cornerback position and getting at the quarterback there. And I said, I like that. And I like the fact that they weren't afraid to show that on film already for Dabo to maybe kind of just let him know, hey, guess what? You're true sophomore quarterback. He's going to have to look out for that.
Yeah, you want to be creative. I mean, corner blitzes, twist stunts with a, you know, tackle in, backer in, whatever you want to do. Get creative and get some pressure on the quarterback. And they did. Wraps it up on a Monday. Be back tomorrow with more College Football Conversation.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.